Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Mesut Ozil is in here. Beautiful goal. Walcott! What a goal! It's been flicked in by Alexis Sanchez. A quality goal from the Gunners.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of Wednesday, the 4th of January 2017, and a happy new year to everybody out there as well. Coming up on this week's show, Jens Lehmann chats to us about all things goalkeeping. We celebrate another Arsenal hat-trick from the brilliant Ian Wright. Adrian Clarke is back in his rightful place on the chalkboard. We kick off by looking back at the weekend's action with our Arsenal insider.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, Jim Campbell from the Football Ramble is our Arsenal insider this week. And before we talk to Jim, only one place to start. That goal. Yes, that goal from Olivier Giroud.
Looks like we've got just a very brief smattering of snow coming down as Palace look to come forward. This is Flamini towards Zaha. It's a good interception from Lucas Perez. Bay it in. Giroud's touch is delightful. Xhaka plays it forward. Iwobi has it now. Alexis calling for it left-hand side. Here is Alexis. Angle of the box looks to curl it towards Giroud. Oh! That's sensational! Olivier Giroud has opened the scoring, and that is something special from the French striker. From the heel of the boot over his head, off the underside of the bar and in.
That is unbelievable. I apologise if anything came out of my mouth then. I was trying to say French fries and I think I said something else. What a goal. How he was pulled that in from over his head. That is fantastic. I don't even know what to call this, Dan. The build-up was lovely. It was sharp. It was sweet. And Alexis, what a decision here. Cuts back inside.
That's just unbelievable.
That's like an overhead kick double because he's done it with the back of his heel.
It's the back of the heel. If you've seen the Henrik Mkhitaryan goal that Manchester United scored, A, this one is better, and B, this one is onside.
He's watching it all the way.
It's sensational.
That could be goal of the season. That is an unbelievable. Look, he's just watching it. The heel connects perfectly. Underside of the bar down. Unbelievable. Hennessy, no chance with that.
Oh, the scorpion kick. I will never get bored of hearing that, seeing that. It was a few days ago, but Jim, we've got to start there. Amazing.
It was beautiful, wasn't it? I think Ian Wright said it was the best goal that any Arsenal player has ever scored. And I mean, obviously Wright is just giddy at how brilliant it was at the time, but it's in the conversation, isn't it? It was just phenomenal. How can a person even do that? I think what I love about it so much is that something gets overlooked about Giroud quite a lot is his flicks and the little tricks he actually pulls off within his build-up play quite a bit. I remember that brilliant goal Jack Wilshere scored against Norwich. He had a flick in there. And to see him actually score a goal with one when most people don't even realise he does them is like a brilliant vindication of what a great player he is. Because he's, you know, harshly treated in the press sometimes. And it was just a beautiful moment as well. The look on his face.
I think you're spot on there that he can be maligned, and at times there's some fair criticism in there. But you look at since he's come back into the team, or in one case off the bench, he's been scoring some very, very important goals.
Absolutely. And he is a player who's prone to maybe looking a little bit sulky. Perhaps it's because he looks like such an existential French almost fictional character, but he has just got his head down and decided that, you know, if he's going to force his way back into the team ahead of Sanchez, who's playing so well in that role, then he's going to have to contribute. And he did that brilliantly against Crystal Palace and also completely, you know, turned the game against Bournemouth as well. So we need a fully firing Olivier Giroud and a fully firing Alexis Sanchez if we're going to, you know, if we're going to do anything this season. So it's a huge positive that he has had such a sort of landmark moment to sort of kickstart his confidence, because, you know, sometimes he does sort of suffer from a lack of that. And, you know, if you score a goal like that, and you're going to be on top of the world.
I won't use the term undroppable, because with squad rotation in different competitions, almost nobody is that. But how much has he forced himself back into Arsene Wenger's first 11 plans for the foreseeable future?
It's a difficult one to say, isn't it? Because Sanchez as a striker is working so, so well that it clearly seems to be Wenger's preferred choice. But, you know, at the same time, we need to have a different plan, a different way of playing. Like, a lot of people always seem to think that Giroud up front was almost like starting with a plan B rather than having a coherent plan A. So I wouldn't be surprised if Giroud does go back out of the team at some point. But on his current form, it's so good that I don't think that's going to be... you know, I don't think that's going to be a decision that's taken lightly or simply for the sake of rotation. I think Giroud's going to be in there for a good while. Because, if you know, what more can he do to earn it? Scoring a goal like that and then assisting too and getting the equaliser against Bournemouth. He absolutely deserves his place at the moment.
We'll talk about Bournemouth in just a moment. Let's continue to react to that Giroud goal. Here is the French striker himself on what he pulled off.
Well, bon année, happy new year. What a way to start. Is that the best goal you've ever scored?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. It's not difficult to say that it was the best one, because I think I needed the God's help to score this goal. So, yeah, thanks God it was I was a bit lucky, but it was the only thing I could do, you know, and was the ball was behind me and I tried to hit it from the back heel, and obviously after it was all about luck.
Did you see the Mkhitaryan goal for Manchester United?
Yeah, maybe it inspires me, you know, and that's the only thing one more time we can do in that position. So, yeah, it's nice for me, for the team, because we wanted to start well the year, and here we go.
And it's been debated a lot, but one more thing on that goal. Where, Jim, would you rate it in the pantheon of great Arsenal goals when you think of some of the corkers the likes of Henri, Bergkamp, etc. have netted?
Oh, it's in the top 10, isn't it? I mean, Dennis Bergkamp hat-trick against Leicester obviously was brilliant. You think all three of those are probably in there because you know, it was a hat-trick in the same game. That incredible goal Henri scored against Man City was one against Man United. Obviously Bergkamp's goal against Newcastle, which is possibly our greatest ever. It's tough to say, really, but I mean, I've never seen an Arsenal player score a goal like that, so it simply has to be in the top five, maybe. Yeah, I'm just disagreeing with myself though. I think it probably is. It's just beautiful. It's one of those things that almost transcends sport, and it's just this aesthetic work of beauty, like the man himself, in a way.
Ooh, bit of a man crush going on there. Top five, then, for sure, we've decided, Jim. So that, at that point, of course, with his own winner, as we discussed on the show last week against West Brom, that scorpion kick goal during the victory a few days later. At that point, 6 points from six over the festive period as Arsenal prepared to go to Bournemouth. 3-3, as we well know, in the end. Disastrous first half. Let's start there. I just wonder what went wrong, in your view.
It was a strange half, wasn't it? I think Arsenal started very brightly, but I think it became apparent pretty quickly that they were a little bit leggy and a little bit tired. Bournemouth had a lot of pace and they have quite a small pitch, and I worried that they would use that to hurt us, and it's exactly what they did. I mean, Hector Bellerin was it Charlie Daniels who scored the first goal for Bournemouth? I forget.
Yeah,
he got back to his man in time, but Bellerin has such pace that it was like he overran himself and mistimed his tackle, and going 1-0 down like that was unfortunate, but you know, it wasn't the end of the world. But then Xhaka again was sort of almost seemed scared by the pace of Bournemouth and just went in way too quick, gave away a silly penalty that absolutely was a penalty. And you know, if you 2-0 down at that point, you've really got to dig in and shut up the game and then just force your way back into it. And Arsenal didn't really do that. There was quite a bit of incoherence to start with. You could see players arguing with each other, and just a little bit of frustration. The passing wasn't quite on, and Bournemouth looked fitter. And also just looked a little bit more disciplined. And to go down 3-0 in the second half as well was a bit of a nightmare. I wonder if there was maybe a foul on Bellerin in the build-up to it, but I guess that's irrelevant because it counted.
What then was mightily impressive and positive from Arsenal was their response, wasn't it? Those three goals in the last 20 minutes to get a point in, and a change of formation as well as attitude for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they just dug in, and when they got that first goal, which was a sort of a nonchalant diving header, which I think not enough has been made of. That's the sort of player Alexis Sanchez is. He can score a diving header and everyone's like, oh yeah, fair enough. Simple, that's a simple chance. And it was, but you know, it's a diving header. Let's not forget that. That's always brilliant. I think after that happened, Bournemouth looked a little bit rattled. It's one of those strange things in football, isn't it? You see this happen quite a lot. A team races into a lead, sometimes an unexpected one, and then the other team pulls a goal back. And just everyone can see what's going to happen. Everyone can see that this is going to happen, and it seems like it almost has a life of its own. And obviously, Perez scored a very, very good goal. Again, some great work from Giroud to really sort of rattle Bournemouth. And at that point, they had the sending off. And again, I think they just lost their heads a little bit because of this fear that, you know, they were going to lose what they had, and so it proved to be. I think, you know, had there been another 5 minutes on the clock, even though we had 6 minutes, we probably would have won that game. It just really, it really looked like it was only going to go one way, and it is 2 points dropped. It really is, but the fight back was impressive, and it just shows the two sides of Arsenal, isn't it? We just need more of one and less of the other.
Yeah, no, makes perfect sense. So Giroud with another very important goal, as we discussed there briefly. Here's a little reminder.
Ramsey coming forward, central position. Bellerin's in space on the right-hand side. Here is Hector Bellerin. Back for Granit Xhaka. Xhaka infield for Ramsey. Ramsey short for Monreal. Now it's with Alexis on the left-hand side. Angle of the box, still has possession. Alexis will curl it back towards Granit Xhaka. Xhaka, 35 yards out. Right-hand side is Bellerin. Six inside the box in yellow shirts. This is Xhaka. Chips it inside the penalty area. Giroud flicks it out! It goes in! Olivier Giroud again! This time the header. And Giroud makes it 3-3, and there's 4 minutes remaining, and Arsenal players are being mobbed by the fans, and really, they want to get back and start this game again because there's a potential 4-3 success on the cards.
Hopefully, Jim, Arsenal will take a fair bit out of this moving forward. Crucially, OK, it's 1 point, 2 dropped, arguably. You could say 1 saved. They've still got another 3 very, very winnable Premier League games on the back of the 2 wins. 16 points out of 18 might still be enough to keep them in the hunt.
Absolutely. I think at the moment what we're seeing is the you know, the bigger sides, the top six really, are just you know, they're kind of blitzing everyone. Aside, you know, Liverpool dropped points against Sunderland, which they shouldn't have, and obviously we dropped points against Bournemouth, and Liverpool took points off of City. But generally, you know, the big teams are kind of steamrolling the little ones a little bit, and at some point that's going to stop. I think that will level off, and we'll see teams taking points off of Spurs and taking points off Liverpool. And Chelsea look unstoppable at the moment, but you know, I think who knows? Maybe they'll have a blip as they did earlier in the season, and we'll have a chance to get back in there. I mean, 8 points off at the moment, and Chelsea have a game in hand, so it's going to be that's a big, you know, lead to overhaul. But you know, all Arsenal can do is keep going. One thing that's been impressive with us that maybe sort of gets overlooked is, yes, we have these moments in a season, generally every season, where we have this nightmare period where we drop a lot of points. But then, you know, they dust themselves off and they go on a big run where they win a lot of games and they're unbeaten for a long time. And the most crucial thing we need to do really is just is do that quicker. You know, it's just make these blips shorter. And the most important thing we can do is just win the next game and just fly into another run.
One person I wanted to mention was Lucas Perez. Very, very good second goal. Beautifully taken and fit. Obviously a good option on the left, maybe, of the attacking three behind the front man. And just an indicator of someone that might have a fair bit to give in the second half of the season.
Absolutely. We're not seeing a huge amount of him so far, but I have been very impressed with what we have seen because he seems very, very clinical. And that is something that, you know, perhaps we've lacked in the past. And he should be sharp as well, as everyone else is coming into a bit of fatigue from such a busy festive period. I would like to see Perez get more of a chance. But also, I'd quite like to see him down the middle, because, like I say, his finishing is really, really sharp. And you've got Erdogan behind him and a fit Theo Walcott out wide of him. You know, it might be a chance to rest Sanchez, or it might be a chance to sort of shuffle things around and have Sanchez out on the left. And yeah, he's a strange character at the moment, because we've all seen so little of him, but we've seen him score quite a few goals, and it's a nice option to have once Danny Welbeck comes back as well. You know, we're going to have some real options there. And yeah, I mean, having that depth off the bench is something that you absolutely have to have in the modern Premier League.
It's just about utilising that depth and flexibility to the best of its potential, isn't it? Absolutely. Let's just quickly hear from Arsene Wenger, the boss's reflections on what was a crazy night at the Vitality.
It was a physical test. We had some problems to get off the blocks when it was very difficult for us to start the game. They started much quicker, faster. And after that, I think with 20 minutes to go, we were 3-0 down, so it was as well a mental test, and I think we refused to lose the game and gave absolutely everything. And apart from the first 20 minutes, I think we were always in the game. There were always dangers as well on counter-attacks, because you had to throw everything in there. And in the end, it's a draw. In terms of our ambitions, we dropped 2 points, and but we have to do better in the other games, and hope that the other teams who come here will drop points here as well. I think it was not the result we wished before the game, but 3-0 down, you would have signed for 3-3, you know. So, of course, we dropped 2 points today, but against a good side, who had a very dynamic game tonight. And I think as well, we were not really lucky in some decisions tonight.
Arsene Wenger, I'll just finish with.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One more thought, Jim, football-wise, on that man. We've seen a lot of other managers be very flexible with their tactics. Three at the back is very popular with some clubs, Chelsea included, which they switched to midway through their Arsenal defeat all of those weeks and months ago. And boy, has that served them well. Do you think there's more scope for a bit of tactical flexibility from Arsenal at times than from Wenger?
I think just in general, you know, that sort of game management is crucial in the Premier League at the moment, isn't it? We've seen sometimes you know, teams, they set up in a certain way to blunt us, and we need different ways around that. And, you know, the Palace game was a good example of that, where, you know, it was almost, you know, we just had to force that. We just had to absolutely just force that game to be a win. And sometimes we don't manage that, because teams will set up. I mean, if you looked at the tactics West Brom employed, it was, you know, it's, I think it was actually maybe Giroud who said it was, you know, 6 players in defence, 4 in midfield, just an absolute minefield to get through. And we do need ways of sort of drawing those teams out and being a bit more flexible. And, you know, even if you use 3 different sets of tactics in a game to confuse your opponent, you know, Arsenal are a top-class team. You know, they're a team that are in the Champions League every year. They're a team that have ambitions to win the title. And that is tough, but that's the level that other teams are at. And it's something that we need to also be able to do. And I think, you know, sometimes Wenger obviously has a lot in his locker. He knows what he's doing. But, I mean, the Bournemouth game is a great example, just switching it up a little bit to get something out of it. I think, yeah, we need more of it, because we need to turn more draws into wins and compete more against the bigger teams, and perhaps that's a way to do that.
Jim, as we let you go, just tell us a little bit more about the Football Ramble.
So So, yeah, the Football Ramble, you can find that at thefootballramble.com. It's a podcast that is generally about football and the love of it and how wonderful and daft and infuriating and beguiling it is. We've been doing it for, it would be 10 years in April, which is absolutely mad. But it's been a lot of fun. And so, yeah, go over to thefootballramble.com if you want to check that out. We also released a book in October, which is simply called The Football Ramble. And you can find that on Amazon, in Waterstones, and audible.co.uk.
Jim, appreciate your time. And thank you very much indeed for coming on to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
German international Jens Lehmann was in goal for the Gunners' invincible season. He's been speaking to Arsenal.com about the club's current crop of keepers and the importance of the man between the sticks.
Jens, you were at Arsenal when Petr Cech first arrived in England. Can you remember your first impressions of him? He had a big impact at Chelsea pretty quickly, didn't he?
Yes, fortunately not too big, because when he came, we won the championship. But in the years after, he was a young guy, I think he was 23 or 24, I don't know. You could see what a great goalkeeper he was. And year by year, he's improved. And probably thanks to Chelsea, they've picked him. They haven't picked him. Mourinho hasn't picked him anymore. He knew that he had a couple of great years inside him. That's why he came to Arsenal. And since then, I think he's doing a fantastic job. I always rate him. As one of the biggest goalkeepers ever. And it's good to see that this season he's probably doing even better than last season. And I hope that he will help the team to win something this season, to win the championship. Now probably he converted into an Arsenal player, because I know from my own experience, when you've played for a big rival for so many years, it's a little bit different, or difficult to say, to cross a river, or to, you know, go to the other side of the fence, yeah, where the grass is probably a little bit greener or less. You'll find out yourself. But in terms of your attitude and your passion and love, probably, which he felt for Chelsea, it's not that easy.
And Petr Cech and David Ospina, they've got two very good goalkeepers now at Arsenal. There's fierce competition for the goalkeeper slot. How beneficial will that be to both of them to have that competition and drive?
I think competition is very important, because it keeps you on your toes and brings the best out of you. And you need to come in every day and you know that there's another guy who likes to have your job, and that moves you. And for example, that actually the guy who wins that battle is always getting better and better, because he's more capable to cope with the pressure. And as a young keeper, that's the only problem you will have when there's another old experienced keeper in front of you. It's hard to beat him.
And many teams now rotate goalkeepers during the league and then in the cup and so on. What's your thoughts on that? Is that something that you like?
I always like to play as many games as possible. But as a coach, you have to consider the fact that if you want to have another good goalkeeper, you can't always have him on the bench. So you need to give him some satisfaction for his daily work. And that's why you have to play him.
And it's Adams, put through by Bold! Would you believe it?
Or Charlie George, who can hit him. Oh, a great goal!
It's up for grabs now! Thomas! Right at the end!
Back on the 2nd of January 1993, Ian Wright scored his fourth Arsenal hat-trick. It was in a 3-1 win over Yeovil Town in the FA Cup third round.
Bold with a good flick, and Ian Wright scores in the 25th minute. Oh, he's in trouble. It's Wright who's looked to Chip Coles, and he's done it brilliantly. And in stubbish time, Arsenal's grip now much more solid, and Ian Wright, who has a real track record, of course, in the FA Cup and his time with Crystal Palace, those two goals in the final, of course, against Manchester United. And two goals here, The second one a classic. Wallace, oh, and Wright has his hat-trick.
Wright, he would go on to score 30 goals in the 1992-93 season, including the opener in the FA Cup final and the final replay against Sheffield Wednesday. That is, the Gunners went on to lift the famous trophy at Wembley. We'll have another history lesson next week, but now time to look ahead to this season's third-round tie against Preston North End with our very own Adrian Clark.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
Joining us at the chalkboard is the brilliant Adrian Clark. Clarky, how's it going, my friend?
Hello, Russ. Yeah, I'm all right. I'm just trying to gather myself together after that crazy old game at the Vitality Stadium. I don't quite know how to feel about it, but yeah, it was a decent point in the end.
Yeah, let's just take it at that, as we were saying earlier in the show with Jim, and move on. And we move on to the FA Cup, Preston North End. But before we do that, question on the chalkboard for us. What is your favourite memory of playing in the FA Cup?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I didn't have a lot of luck in the FA Cup. A few bad memories, to be perfectly honest. I did play against Sheffield United for Arsenal, and I played quite well. It was a 1-1 draw, but I should have scored a couple of goals. I think the keeper made a good save, and I missed a good chance, and we ended up losing the replay. I didn't play in that well. I came on right at the death, so that wasn't so good. I do remember playing for Southend in one of the early rounds, non-league away to Woking, and I'll never forget it. It was jam-packed. I don't know how many was in the stadium, 6,000, but it was real good atmosphere, and it was blood and thunder game. We nicked it in extra time, I think by 2-0. It was just a wicked FA Cup tie. But yeah, in terms of happy memories, I don't have that many from playing. I got knocked out a few too many times by teams we shouldn't have been knocked out by.
Oh dear. Let's then move swiftly on, and it's Arsenal's first taste of the FA Cup this year. Broadly, how do you expect Arsene Wenger to treat it?
Seriously, because it's a competition that Arsenal traditionally do very well in, and I think that he's learned the art of rotation in the FA Cup actually pretty well in recent years. En route to those two finals that Arsenal won, I think he mixed and matched his teams excellently. In previous years, I think maybe he went too weak and too young at times, but he's got the blend right in recent campaigns, and hopefully he'll get it right with his team selection at Preston. So I think this is a tricky tie for Arsenal. It's one I think that the fans would have thought, OK, that's pretty comfortable, we'll go through to the next round. But it's not a gimme. The Championship side, pretty solid, and deep down, from personal experience, I've played there a few times. Not an easy place to go.
OK, we'll come on to North End in a moment. Just from Arsenal's point of view, you think of maybe an Ospina or Martinez in goal quandary. Are the fringe players, young players, players coming back from injury? What would be one or two of the selections either you would do or you think Wenger might go with?
Yeah, I hope David Ospina gets a game. I think he warrants running the FA Cup team. Been superb in the Champions League. I think he'll come in. Lucas Perez has to play in this game, I think, on the back of his performance as a sub down at Bournemouth. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain needs a game, so does Aaron Ramsey. But we're a little bit short of bodies, aren't we, in central midfield? So with that in mind, I'm wondering if, well, Granit Xhaka might have to play. Actually, Aaron Ramsey might play as central midfield, perhaps with one of the younger players. This could be an occasion where Ainsley Maitland-Niles gets a run out. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see that. Maybe at right back, Carl Jenkinson will come back in. Rob Holding, I think, deserves a shout. So, yeah, it's going to be a mix and match side. But, yeah, whoever Wenger puts out, if the attitude is right, Arsenal should win the game.
So tell me a little bit more then about Preston. You've been working diligently finding out a few details for us. Simon Grayson, very accomplished boss, as we know, for many years at some good clubs and some good players as well. Tell us a bit more.
Yeah, I watch them every week. Of course I do, Russ.
I know. Ever since that draw was made, you've been diligently beavering away.
I've been scouting them. Yeah, look, they're a solid team. Quite stubborn, if truth be told, under the manager Grayson. They like to keep it fairly tight. They're not what you'd call an expansive side. He often goes with five at the back. Sometimes it's four. So in terms of how they'll line up, it's potluck, really. I don't think Arsene Wenger will be able to second-guess it.
But yeah, they're quite defensive, very strong in the air. They have scored, I think, 10 goals from set pieces. They're the second best team in the Championship when it comes to winning headers at both ends of the pitch. So Arsenal are going to have their wits about them in both boxes in this one. So yeah, they're that type of side. Got a number of dangerous players, as all teams have. So yeah, it's going to be a tough game.
Any particular players that you would like to single out?
Well, Callum Robinson is a decent player. He plays on the left side of the attack. So if he comes up against Bellerin or Jenkinson, I think that could be a really interesting battleground. He's lively. He's only 21, but he's their top scorer so far this season. So he's definitely somebody to watch out for. In terms of their best all-round player, you're looking at Ben Pearson, former Manchester United youngster, central midfielder, all action. A bit like an Aaron Ramsey. He'll get stuck in, but he'll also break forward, try and make things happen. So he's exceptionally important to them. And at the back, the captain, Tom Clark, is a bit of a John Terry type. So he'll be the leader of that team. So look, I think they are not a poor Championship team by any stretch of the imagination. I think if Arsenal don't start with the right mindset, this will be a really hard game for them.
OK, so two quick traditional ones to finish. What is your key head-to-head battleground?
Oh, that's an interesting one. I'm going to go with Tom Clark, the captain of Preston, the centre-half, against Lucas Perez, because I do expect Perez to lead the line in this one. Great opportunity for him to continue to build his reputation. So that battleground is going to be really important. Perez will have him for pace, I'm pretty sure of that. But Clark is a ballsy kind of player. He'll put his body on the line, and I think he'll try and rough up Lucas Perez. So, yeah, keep your eyes peeled for those two.
And how, in a sentence, Adrian, do you beat Preston North End?
I think it's quite simple, and I could be saying this about many FA Cup ties. I think for Arsenal to beat Preston North End, they have to win the battle. They have to compete physically early on. And it's an old cliche, but earn the right to play. It's not rocket science. They're going to have to fight fire with fire early on, keep their wits about them, and then I think in the second half we'll see things open up.
And of course, from next week's edition, the return of our very, very tense and very hard-fought and very important prediction competition. And remind everyone who's led almost all year and who is now actually ahead.
Well, I've had a wonderful Christmas, just put it that way. I can't wait to resume our rivalry thus. And look, I'm just looking to kick on. Now that we're in the business end of the season, I'm just looking to kick on and, just leave you in my slipstream.
Well, producer Liam Roberts will be back with us next week with his latest tantalising question. And where can we catch you next then, Clarky?
I'll be back on the Matchday Show for the Preston game. 5 o'clock, we're on air, UK time.
Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Jens Lehmann, to Jim Campbell and to Adrian Clark for their contributions today. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, leaving us a 5-star review in the process. You can find us on Acast these days as well. You'll never have the excuse to miss another episode. We're back on Monday, the 9th of January. And until then, it's bye for now. And come on, you Gunners!
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.